Was suggested, and it's a good suggestion, might we just tell you what the parable is going to be next week so you can look ahead and not wait until Friday or when I put it out, but next week is the parable of the sower, and Steve Linden is bringing that sermon. I had to look to him, make sure that he's on for this next Sunday. And this series should take us probably middle of the way through May, something like that, to get to the parables that we're going to. We won't hit all of them, but a lot of the main ones. This morning, it's understanding the parables of Jesus. Understanding the parables of Jesus. A little bit different type of a sermon. We haven't done an overview sermon for a long time. We usually just dive in chapter, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and we'll do that when we get to the different parables. But we want to be thinking in terms of the kingdom of God as it relates to the parables. The late pastor, James Montgomery Boyce, he was a pastor at 10th Presbyterian Church, and he passed away several years ago from cancer, but he was at a particularly difficult time in his church, a lot of stuff going on, and he was looking for a relatively easy series that wouldn't take too much time to prepare, and so he said, I've got it. I'm going to preach on the parables of Jesus, and what he found out, the more he studied it, he found himself, in his words, he found himself enraptured by the parables of Jesus, so much so that he took his sermons and it became a book called The Parables of Jesus. So we all have ideas about the parables, and this morning we want to begin our study in the parables of Jesus and how do these first century stories apply in our 21st century context. Each week, our preachers will try to help the parable back then apply to us today. So we begin first by answering the question or asking the question, what is a parable and what is it not? First of all, what it's not. A parable is not simply a simple, short narrative that teaches morals. If we end up in the sermon each week with just do better at this, just do better at that, we've missed the main point of the parables. And so that's very important. And as you see in your notes there, parables are stories that help us understand the nature of the kingdom of God and point us to the King of the Kingdom. So as we go through the parables, we're going to be looking for information, application related to the kingdom of God and the King of the Kingdom. As we study these individual parables, we're also going to see how they relate to how Jesus fulfills this promises that we see in the Old Testament and how he embodies various characters in the parables. We're going to see Jesus in various characters. We're going to see Jesus as the heaven-sent Son. We'll see him as the bridegroom. We're going to see Jesus as the King on his throne, and we're going to see him as judge on Judgment Day. A key verse to help us understand, and it's on your notes here, is Luke 8, 9, and 10. Help us understand the parables. And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, to you it has been given to know the secrets or mysteries of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. The mystery is the powerful manifestation of the reign of God in human hearts and lives. That's what a parable is. We're going to see the matter, but it's going to be hidden to some people, and some people will understand it clearly. This reign is connected with Christ's coming and works both in a physical and a spiritual realm. We're going to see physical aspects in parables. We'll also see spiritual aspects. This mystery was that God was doing all these things and was being given to those who were with him at the time and to all who accepted him by genuine faith. Then he said, for others who are hearing my parables, seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. So the rest of the people hearing the parables are those who did not accept Jesus by faith and actually had hardened themselves to the truth that they were hearing. Think self-righteous scribes and Pharisees and many others that heard his parables and didn't respond. And by their own choice, they refused to see and hear. And their punishment for refusing to hear is they're going to hear things in parables and not understand them. That's going to be just a part of their punishment, is they don't understand what they're hearing. John Calvin said this about the parables and the people who heard them and then rejected what Jesus said. They must endure the blame of their own blindness and hardness. So a wonderful opportunity is given to those who avail themselves of it, and they miss an opportunity for those who don't. Today, and in the sermon, as I said, I'd like to give us some overarching principles that help us to understand the parables and put them into context, because I think it will really help. So we're going to look at 10 things to consider when listening to the parables of Jesus. The first thing that we'll notice, we want to understand the nature of parables. Understand the nature of parables. Parables are teaching tools that compare something physical to something spiritual. Jesus will often begin a parable by saying, the kingdom of God is like, or the kingdom of heaven is like a simile. Jesus is connecting abstract concepts to something concrete and familiar. We see that in the parable of the mustard seed. He put another parable before them saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and make their nests in its branches. Parables engage both our minds and our emotions in a powerful way. I was thinking about hiking is kind of like a parable for the Christian life. Earlier in my life, I did quite a bit of hiking. Some of you have hiked on the Pacific Crest Trail in different parts of it and understand there are some days that are easy hikes and there are some days that are more difficult hikes. That's kind of how the Christian life is like. And as soon as I start to tell this example of the Pacific Crest Trail, different ones of you that have hiked on it looked up right away when I said that. I was watching that. I was thinking as I was, I said, I bet Jeff's got, and Gordon's going to look at me, and who else has hiked the Pacific, but even parts of, there you go, parts of the Pacific Crest Trail. Okay, so you know. So that's what a parable does. It immediately engages your mind and your emotions, and you go, I've been on that trail. I know what he's talking about. I know an easy day, and I know a hard day. And that's the way our spiritual life is like. Some days are easier and harder than others. Another example, the Good Samaritan, where Jesus vividly illustrates what it looks like to love your neighbor as yourself. So together, let's look at these parables as they're preached each week. And I'm praying that we'll all, myself included, have hearts receptive to what the parable is teaching us. And we're going to learn some new things too. So first of all, the nature of parables. The second thing, understand the purpose of parables. Jesus taught parables for two main reasons. Most of you know this, but to reveal and to conceal. To reveal truth to some, like that Luke 8 passage, it's on your notes there. To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others. So to reveal and to conceal truth from other people as they listen to the parables. Mark 4 is an excellent example of that. And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables, and he said to them, to you have been given the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others, for those outside, everything is in parables. And then he goes on. So he's saying, for some, they're going to hear the parables, and it's going to conceal. They're not going to get the meaning of what's being said. For those eager to follow God, parables were memorable illustrations of kingdom principles. And for those that resisted his message and God's purposes, their meaning remained hidden. And as I said, it's actually a form of judgment. So where can we go wrong in the study of parables? I found a great article this week. Pastor Jared Wilson was interviewed for a Gospel Coalition article. Check out the title of this article. Chuck the flannel graph, the gripping story of Jesus' parables. That's good. Just forget the flannel graph idea of parables and what's behind it. He said this, we tend to make every parable a sort of moralistic tale, something that ends up more about behavior modification than the spiritual beholding of Jesus. Do you hear what he's saying? more about behavior modification than really beholding the beauty of King Jesus. Not that parables don't urge changes in behavior, he continues. The parable of the Good Samaritan, for instance, is perhaps the most popular among evangelicals today, especially among those with concerns for social justice issues. But is social justice the main point of the parable? You have to wait till February 22nd to hear the answer to that. Skip's going to present that on February 22nd. Is that the main point? Third, we want to see the parables in their proper context. See the parables in their proper context. A parable often includes a brief introduction that shapes the meaning of the parable. Let me give you an example. Luke 18:1, and when he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. There it is, right up front. This is the purpose of the parable. This is, I'm giving this parable to you so that you keep praying and don't give up or don't lose heart. At other times, you get a parable and you have to look at the context of the parable and what's around the parable to really understand it. Luke 15 is an example of that. Here is the context of the telling of the parable. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So the context of this parable is, what is Jesus doing hanging around with tax collectors and sinners? The Pharisees and the scribes said, they would never do that, obviously. In that context, Jesus gives three parables that have a common theme, and that happens sometimes in the parables. The lost sheep, the lost coin, and the prodigal son. All three were kind of in response to the Pharisees and scribes who failed to understand the grace of God in their lives. So we need to understand how related parables work together, and that can help to clarify their meaning, and the context is really helpful for that. Number four, and this is a big one, remember the cultural gap. Remember the cultural gap. Many images and metaphors in the parables carried meaning for Jesus' original audience, but are less obvious to us in the 21st century. We know that to be true, and there's a balance we have to strike here, but an example of that is the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25. That parable becomes much clearer if you better understand Jewish wedding customs of that day in the first century. That parable is going to be the last in our series, so you have to wait for the answer on that one. But context and culture really help in this one to understand that. As each preacher brings a parable or parables, they're going to try to place them in their first century setting so that we can better understand how the parable would have been heard by the original listener. Now, the ditch on the other side is that we need to caution ourselves as preachers not to spend so much time in historical first century context that we miss the main point of the parable. So there's a balance there between we could spend 45 minutes talking about Jewish wedding customs and we would have missed the whole point of the parable of the 10 virgins or whatever it's going to be. Number five, parables usually have one main point. All of the details of the parable should flow from its main point. So as we're listening to the parables each week, you should be listening for the main point. We'll try to help you as preachers to say, we believe this is the main point of the parable, but you should be listening for it. Or in some cases, it's closely related points, like the four soils would be one closely related points. This is crucial because the central message of the parable is why Jesus gave the parable in the first place. To get lost in the weeds and miss the main point of the parable, and this is why he said it and why it was recorded for us. As I was doing my research for this overview sermon, one commentator said, there might be four key questions that you can ask to help you understand a little more about each one of the parables. And here they are. He said, let's ask, who are the main characters in the parable? Who are the main characters? that Jesus is talking about in the, because there are secondary characters in parables and there are main characters. The second one, what occurs at the end? And I'll talk about that in just a minute. What occurs at the end of the parable? What we would call the punchline, or what we would call the takeaway point, or if you remember anything this morning that I say, remember this. That's what he's going to say at the end of many parables. Also, and this is interesting, watch for what occurs in quotation marks. Who's speaking and what are they saying? That's important in the delivery of the parable. And then finally, who or what is the focus of the parable? Is it the Pharisees, the scribes? Is it the disciples? Who's the focus of the parable when we see each one of them? Because the focus will be different with each one. So those four things, I think, are important for us to be looking at each time. And as we study, we'll be kind of, each preacher should probably be putting that through their filter of what they're presenting to you each week. Number five, take notice of surprising details. This was a kind of a new thought to me as I was studying. Take notice of surprising details. What's unexpected in the parable? Many parables include unexpected or really shocking elements that highlight the message of the parable. Careful reading of the parable often reveals these details. They can also be easy to miss because of the cultural differences between now and then. And that we've read these parables so many times, we've got them. We just know them. You're not going to teach me anything new about that, or you don't look at it with new, fresh eyes. I'm so grateful that when we open up the Word of God, each week we open up the Word of God, each day you open up the Word of God, it's new and fresh because your context for the day you're in is new and fresh. And I hope that's the way it will be with the parables, even though they're very familiar to us. A clear example of this surprising detail is in the parable of the unforgiving servant in Matthew 18, 23 through 25. And if you remember that, the surprising detail in that, or the shocking detail, is the contrast between the two debts that were owed. Millions of dollars were forgiven by the king, where thousands of dollars were demanded by the servant. So millions versus thousands. That's the shocking detail that first century ears would have heard, and we would have heard also. It reveals the immense magnitude of God's forgiveness and the expectation that it will shape how we, you and I, forgive others. So watch for surprising details that would probably puzzle us. Number seven, not every minor detail in a parable is important. Not every minor detail has significant meaning. Because parables are stories, they often include support details that help the narrative flow but do not carry symbolic weight. The kingdom of God is like, and then he says something, or like in my illustration earlier, the spiritual life is like hiking on the Pacific Crest Trail. It began with me buying my sneakers or my hiking shoes at REI, and they were $99.95. They were on sale. That has nothing to do with how hard the walk was on the, that's an insignificant detail, but it helps you come into the story to understand how I got the shoes to prepare me to walk on the Pacific Crest Trail. That's the thing. So there are going to be some details of the parable that are not, it just helps to carry the flow of the story. For example, using the parable of the 10 virgins, five are described as wise and five are described as foolish. To spend too much time trying to figure out, some people have looked at that and gone, okay, the five wise are the five people that heard the word and believed the parable, and the five unwise are the ones that didn't. And that may not be the main point, and that may not be the main focus that the preacher is going to concentrate on, and probably shouldn't. The number simply serves the story, 10 virgins. It serves the storyline. In years past, the preacher would try to find significant meaning in each element of the story. And that temptation still exists today, and I'll get to that in a minute. When we press insignificant details, it really distracts from the message of the parable and the main focus of the parable if we get caught up in all the little details. So don't try to read significance into every single element of a parable. Number eight, notice stock imagery in the parables. Stock imagery. Commentator Robert Plummer is the one who came up with this phrase, stock imagery. It's used to describe images that appear repeatedly in Jesus' parables. These familiar figures would often echo themes that were in the Old Testament and would have been readily understood by the first century hearers, his original audience. These repeated familiar images would have helped the hearer better understand the meaning of the parable that was being shared. In several parables, figures such as master, king, judge represent God, while sheep, servants, workers represent followers, his followers. So that stock imagery that shows up in repeated parables. Number nine, the ending of a parable is especially important. While parables may contain many meaningful elements, their conclusions often reveal the primary implication. An example of that is the parable of the wheat and the tares in Matthew 13. The ending clarifies the ultimate purpose of the parable. At the end of this parable, it tells us that God will make a final distinction between the righteous and the wicked at the final judgment. And that comes right at the end of the parable. It clarifies for us who the wheat is, who the tares are, all that kind of stuff. So it's the ending of a parable is especially important. And number 10, one of my favorite ones, be careful with allegorical interpretations. Throughout church history, and I mean for a long, long time, interpreters have claimed that parables require assigning special spiritual meaning to every detail, turning every parable into an allegory. When this is done, it often does a couple of things. It ignores the plain meaning of Scripture, that's one, and introduces ideas that come from the preacher and not from the Scriptures itself. So we've got to be careful with allegorical interpretations. A great example of this is Origen and his interpretation of the Good Samaritan. Origen of Alexandria was an early church father. He founded the Christian school at Caesarea, school of Caesarea. He was known as an authority on all matters of theology. That's kind of his stamp. That's what he was. That's who he was. Very respected. But even he could get it wrong and press allegorical interpretation too far. In the parable of the Good Samaritan again, check this out. He assigns symbolic meaning to nearly every element of the parable. The man that was robbed and left in the ditch, that's Adam. The priest who passed on the other side of the road, that's the law. The Levite who passed on the other side of the road, that's the prophets. The donkey is Christ's body. Okay. And the Samaritan is Christ himself. So you can push allegorical to its extreme to make Christ out to be a donkey. And yes, he did bear our sins, and yes, he did carry us, and yes, all of that. But I think there's no textual basis for 100% of how he interpreted that allegorically. In fact, Martin Luther described these people that took these allegories too far. He said their readings were amazing twaddle and altogether useless. So I would guess he would say be careful with allegory when you're doing that. Now, I always encourage you to read the dead guys. I really do think it's important to read the old dead guys, the early church fathers, and read the Puritans and things like that. But even they can get it wrong on times. And I think in this instance, he missed the main point of the parable. This being the case, what should we expect as we study each one of these parables? What type of change should come to each one of us? I think as we look at the parables, we should be fascinated and instructed by the familiar. I'm looking forward to this, each preacher, to see what they're going to bring out in the parable that is maybe something new that I haven't heard, or get reminded of something. And so be fascinated and instructed by the familiar of the parables. And then three more things to wrap up. First of all, my prayer is that we'll grow in God's grace as we study the parables. By this, I mean that each of the sermons on a parable will help us better appreciate ways that we can grow in godliness and worship of King Jesus. We sang it in our first song. I know I am loved by the King. Man, if we walked away from the parables and go, I'm seeing how I'm loved by the King in new and fresh ways, that's a home run as far as I'm concerned as a church family to grow in grace in that way. The King of the kingdom and our place in that kingdom should be clear week by week as we unpack and preach through these parables. So grow in the grace of God. Secondly, to understand the kingdom of God and the King of the kingdom more fully. Jesus said, pray like this, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's kingdom has broken into the chaos of this world. You and I are part of bringing that kingdom of heaven down to earth. The parables help us to understand how to better understand the kingdom, what life in the kingdom looks like, what's expected of a child in the kingdom of God. And then thirdly, develop a deeper desire to follow Christ wholeheartedly. Personal application in sermons often comes two ways. I would say one is for us to listen with expectation. Come Sunday, listening for expectation. Not every week will the preacher hit a home run. Maybe a single, maybe a bunt single in baseball terms, but not every week will it. But listen with expectation. Expect to hear or see something in the parables that you may never have seen before. Perhaps a cultural insight from the first century that helps you better understand the parable, or maybe a fresh truth from a familiar parable that you know very well. So listen with expectation, and then listen for application. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you apply the truth that is preached that week to your particular situation right now. Each preacher is going to try to bring relevant application, and we will, but it's the Holy Spirit that really works it down into our hearts and says, I need to take that with me this week, and I need to act on it, and I need to obey what I just heard, or I need to work in that area or give that area up to the Lord. So I'm personally excited about this series. I don't think I'm going to write a book after it. I promise you I won't. Many people have written books on the parables. But the gospel is new and fresh each time we open our Bibles and study it. We're going to be praying as preachers that this series will be a benefit to you in the place where God has you right now in the kingdom. That's what our prayer is, that parable that they preach would touch right where you are in his kingdom right now. And we're asking you to join us in that prayer. I'm asking you guys to pray with us about that and the sermon each week. So before we take communion this morning as small families, I thank you for giving us the opportunity to preach through these parables and for your attentiveness to them. And I hope this over you in some way helps you to kind of put these into context as we preach them each week. Let's pray together. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that the words you spoke in parables have been recorded for our instruction and for our edification. Thank you for the timeless truths that we're going to see each week. Clearly, we will see that parables drew many to yourself as followers. And I pray that each parable might strengthen our faith and our walk with you. And as we take communion this morning, may we become freshly aware of your Son, his sacrifice, our salvation. And as we sang, may we see the greatness of our God. How great is our God. In Jesus' name, amen.